This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod.
Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is episode 537, recorded on February 20th, 2018. My name is Martin Spriggs, and I'm joined, as usual, to talk about technology and ministry by Sally Draper, New Ulm resident. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am awesome, Martin. Happy to be joining you. Happy to be talking social media ambassadors. Doesn't that sound like a fancy title for someone?
You got to explain that to me.
A little explaining.
What is a social media ambassador for the kids at home?
Sure. A social media ambassador is someone who follows your social media channels. We're talking mostly church and school or church-related organizations, social media channels, and then they share your content further so that your content grows legs and gets to all the people that are part of their social media circles. And in that way, it gets extended quite a bit further than your normal reach.
Those of you that have been following along at home for any number of weeks or whatever, you know that we've talked about social media ambassadors before. We bring up the topic in this month of training techies because, you know, there is some training involved. You really want to work with your social media ambassadors to both understand what the purpose is and what the best practices are about sharing that social content, what the objectives are, and then you obviously want a strategy for your church or school to be able to do that effectively.
Yep. And recently over on the Wells Intersection Facebook page, one of our friends, our Wells Tech friends, Pastor James Aderman, shared an infographic that talked about this very topic. It's actually an infographic that outlines 8 steps to nurture and grow social media ambassadors to share your message. And so we were just going to talk through these 8 steps today and what they mean for our churches and schools.
So what's number one, Sally?
Number one on the list says, follow us on any social media platforms you use. So in other words, build into your communication strategy to encourage those that you have contact with to follow you. And, you know, if you have a Facebook page or whatever it is, share it in your church bulletin, share it in your school newsletter, and encourage people to follow you. Just suggest that they go and follow you there.
And as a social ambassador, obviously you want people to follow you. That's your audience. So that would be an important criteria when you kind of pick or train your social media ambassadors. Another part of the strategy, though, is that you want to determine what platforms you want them to share on. Typically, it's best to share content on the same platform. So you as an organization are picking the content that you want them to reshare. So is that going to be on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram? And those all have considerations as you're putting together your stuff, too. Is it imagery? Is it video? Is it text? Are there links? You know, those kinds of things. And are they event-based, et cetera, et cetera? And then determine what platforms you're on. And the general guidance is start small. You know, pick one, two. Just don't try and blanket everything because it gets a little bit thin and I think people get worn out as well.
Yeah, definitely. Knowing where your people are, that's the key to knowing the right platforms to be on. Just, you want to connect with them, obviously. So point two is to share relevant posts, pictures, and videos that your friends might like. So put good stuff out there for them to consume. That's kind of a no-brainer, but there's a learning curve to that, and you definitely want to be using quality tools and creating professional-looking content to share on your social media channels.
Right. Number three, share one social media post from the church every week. So that's just general guidance, and your mileage may vary. It would depend. But I think the point here is that you want the social media ambassador to be regular, that they're taking content that you're providing and doing something each week. Now, it could be multiple things, but there's a balance. You know, you don't want to you don't want to flood your audience, your listeners, but you want to be discreet, but, you know, at least do it on a regular basis.
Right. And coupled with that, number four says engage in posts that ask for an answer. It encourages others to engage as well. So just ask them to comment on your post where appropriate and where they're so moved to share their opinions and ideas and reflections. And that kind of gets the ball rolling. It also gives your post more coverage. So posts that are getting comments tend to show up in people's feeds more often. And so just by the act of them adding to your post in that way, you can get broader coverage of your post.
Yeah, you really don't want to just appear as kind of a social media brochure. You want to engage in a conversation, and that's the point of social media. Mm-hmm. Number five, post a picture of a church event. Tag us. So the encouragement would be use the technology that you have, or we can, you know, the church or school can provide some imagery, but make sure that you're passing that along so that there's something that lets your audience know that there's something going on at your church. You know, there's an event, something live. It's not just static images that could have been posted at any point or on some kind of schedule, but there's real ways that you're involved and that you're engaged. You're not just a purveyor or a distributor of prepackaged content.
Yeah. I know I do this when I'm in church on Sunday. Just recently, it was Lutheran Education Week and the entire school sang. And that fills up the whole front of our very large altar area. It's really exciting to see all those children up there. And so just by taking a quick picture and sharing, you know, a little bit and tagging the congregation in the picture, then that has a ripple effect in these social media channels. So it actually goes on their page and their photos because they're tagged in the photo. It lets people know what's happening in your church and ties them via that tag to the church Facebook page in case they want to follow or whatever. So very easy to do, and it definitely can spread the word about your congregation or school.
What's number six, Sally?
Number six says stay up to date with current social media events. And, you know, that's probably something that I don't see people taking advantage of as much as they can. They may announce an event on the on a Facebook page or something, but they can actually create an event that ties to people's calendars and reminds them when the date is approaching or whatever. And then you can share that event and encourage people to indicate that they're going or considering going or whatever. And then that shares further on their pages as well. And so just on the front end of that, structuring your events in a specific way where people can indicate their interest in it. I noticed lately on Facebook, it's kind of notching up and telling me three of your friends are going to a nearby event. So it's taking, you know, the combination of people that are going and suggesting events that I may be interested in as well. So just take advantage of all of those things by creating those events out there and encouraging people to indicate that they're going.
Yeah, and that was one thing that when we talked to social media ambassador, quote-unquote, experts, and the advice was don't do it alone. There is strength in numbers, and the more people that are sharing and the more people maybe that have different connections to different people, they're getting it from different sources, and maybe that has even more impact. So, number seven, in charge of an event, talk to staff to define its social media presence. So here's a good encouragement for coordination. So if there is an event going on at church, or if you're in charge of an event, make sure that there is a social media component to it. Make sure that word is getting out, and make sure that everybody's on the same page.
And, you know, some consistency here is probably a good thing. So you don't want one event to be promoted in a bazillion different ways that isn't the norm or whatever. Maybe those great ideas need to carry over to all events, but, you know, working together to be consistent with the way things are promoted is always a good idea.
Yep. Want to share the last of the
one. It says post and share godly content from other sources. So it's not all about content that you create yourself, but that other people can share things created elsewhere. Maybe this is an area where there needs to be some guidelines or suggestions for other resources and things that can be shared. So they're not just trumpeting, you know, your message constantly, which would probably get old if that's all they were doing, but actually, you know, sharing their faith themselves using all types of content that's available to them.
Certainly makes it would make it more personal, mm-hmm. which is important when you're dealing with, you know, building relationships and trying to forge a conversation that is around God's word and what God is doing in your life. So I think that, go ahead, Sally.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, combining all eight of these, and we'll list them out and link you to the infographic and everything to give you ideas. But I think helping your people understand that they can let their light shine in this way and that you're giving them great content. You know, maybe they just don't think to share it or don't realize, you know, how it can reach someone that they've been praying for, perhaps, but they don't actually constantly have to be creating the content themselves, but that they can share and link people up to your church in that way. So maybe it's a great newsletter article topic or little blurbs in the weekly bulletin that kind of delve into each of these areas. But your people need to hear this. They need to be encouraged to do it. And then that needs to be reinforced, not just telling them once, but, you know, having some strategy around encouraging their participation in your social media channels in this way.
Yeah, and it's really all about spreading what is so very important to you. And so it's not a sales activity, as we talked about. It's really ministry. Mm-hmm. And be treated as such and taken advantage of some of the training techniques that we've talked about. So if you're not kind of if you as a church leader aren't in tune with the fact that your membership is probably pretty invested in social media, then you're probably missing the boat. You need to think about strategic ways to engage them and be a part of those conversations as well.
Definitely.
Sally, great conversation. Let's move on to the next segment of our show, which is News in Tech.
Yeah, just came across an article today. It's kind of stunning to think about, but Samsung actually announced the world's largest solid-state drive. It has 30 terabytes of storage. Pretty hard to believe in that 2.5-inch form factor that they can make. They can include enough solid-state storage to store 5,700 full HD movies. That's a lot of storage. And I don't expect it'll be coming to a laptop near me very soon, but it's amazing, you know, the progress we've made. And I read it to Kevin and said, you know, 3 years from now, we'll be laughing at 30 terabytes of storage and thinking that's old school or whatever. But rapid acceleration and storage. So really exciting to see.
This is probably more relevant news to maybe the cloud providers these days as they're building out these massive servers with massive amounts of storage. Solid state is obviously as fast as you're going to get it. And as these things become possible, you know, cloud storage becomes even better for us. I don't envision a day where I'm going to have a laptop or an iPad with 30 terabytes of storage or even need it because all that content is primarily in the cloud. So interesting. Mm-hmm. Do they have a price tag on that in case folks at home would like to pick one up for a stocking stuffer?
No date, no price. Not yet.
It's going to be high, trust me.
Yeah.
But that is a lot of storage. All right. What's going on in Wells? Do we have any Wells news this week?
We do. Just a quick announcement that registration is now open for the LWMS National Convention, and it will be early bird pricing until April 1st. Includes convention registration, lunch, and on Friday and Saturday and Saturday night banquet, all for $190. So you have to make your hotel reservation separately. I believe convention is going to be in Green Bay this year. I don't see that.
That's correct. Yes.
On this page, but we have the link available, and we'll put that in the show notes so you can head over and get that early bird registration price for LWMS.
Very good. Mm-hmm. All right, Sally, you have a pick this week. We're to that point in the show where each of us finds a product, a service, a something that's worth sharing. What would you come up with this week?
Well, I wanted to share an article that's titled 30 Incredibly Useful Things You Didn't Know Slack Could Do. And this ties to the communication collaboration tool called Slack that many people are using. It's not something we use on a day-to-day basis in Wells, but it is something I have used personally. And I was just amazed as I read through this. I actually have a Slack channel open here, and this one has to do with RVing. It's kind of the topic of the day here in the Draper household because we're preparing to go full-time RVing. But just different tips and tricks that you can make use of, even just with the search bar in Slack, things that I just had no clue were out there. And, you know, there's 30 of them. I got stopped around number 10 because I was just overwhelmed with all the different ways you can search for things. You can narrow down your searches and avoid information from irrelevant channels because there's different channels on Slack. You can save your place and come back to it the next time you log into Slack. It'll take you back to where you left off. You can make it real easy to find important things by pinning them. And, you know, Slack is one of those interfaces that's pretty basic. Unless you start digging into the settings, these things aren't going to just pop out at you. You know, it's more of just a conversation tool. You can at mention people and they'll get a little notification or whatever. But this talks about ways that you can at mention everyone who's online at the time or people that are in a particular team or whatever it may be. It also talks about ways to change the appearance, like strike through words or block quote things or whatever it is that you want to do in terms of appearance of your text. So a lot of different tips and tricks here for Slack users. Martin, are you a Slack user at all?
Only a modest one. There are certain groups like you're using it, I guess, for some programming circles that I'll jump into a Slack group for to ask a question mostly. Mm-hmm. I've used Slack as kind of a cross between the old school bulletin boards and chat rooms and you know, modern day messaging platforms like Skype and those kinds of things. Just really full featured, and boy, there's a lot of things that you can do with these platforms, especially if you need that kind of interaction, you know, project teams or it just kind of depends on your use cases, but it's a really popular product and
price
for the most
tag is
part, free.
Yeah, price tag is free. I'm sure you can pay for some more enterprise levels of the tool or whatever, but you certainly can use it personally for free. True confessions: I have a family who does not like social media and refuses to be on social media, and I talked them into getting Slack because you can have private groups and it's not tied to any other type of social media. And so we do have our running family chats, and we had a channel specifically about weddings last year. Imagine that. We had two kids get married. So, you know, specific content to different groups of people or for different purposes, and photo sharing, things like that. It's kind of the tradition anytime anyone eats at Chick-fil-A that they have to share that on Slacks and make everyone else jealous or whatever. So, you know, we have our priorities here, but Slack is a good tool for us in that regard. So, yeah, this just kind of ups the ante with what you can do with Slack. And there's definitely some tips on this list that I'm going to be putting into practice in my Slack usage. So there you have it.
All right. My pick is a Chrome, what would we call it? A Chrome application, I guess it would be called. It's called Chrome Task Manager, and I bet most of you didn't know that Chrome had even a task manager. I'll put a link to this article. It's actually a very short one, and it's a Mac, both on Mac and Windows. But basically, it is a little tool that allows you to stop misbehaving programs that are running in Chrome. Now, today, a lot of the things, including things like Slack, you can run in a Chrome browser, a Chrome tab. In fact, many of the things that we use are strictly within Chrome, if Chrome is your browser. But sometimes those things get a little bit out of control and you begin to, you know, hear your computer spin up, the fan spin up, and things get bogged down. And especially if you have a lot of tabs open, it's difficult to see, you know, what might be doing that. But it's real easy to find the task manager. You just go in the upper right, and there's three dots. It's the menu icon, and one of the things that is available about three-quarters of the way down is More Tools, and then there's a fly-out menu that will give you the task manager. It's along with extensions and clear browsing data and save page. If you go into the task manager, you get all the things that are running, including all the extensions that are running. It'll tell you how much memory they're taking, how much CPU or how much of your computer's processing power it's using, what kind of network resources it's using, and then the process ID. So not only, though, can you see it, but you can stop different processes. So I have a tab open. I'm just going to run a video here. It's the Apple... Apple has a lot of their videos online, so I'm just going to turn on a video. I'll turn the sound down because that'll normally spike your usage. Mm-hmm. So I've got the video playing. Then if I go back to the task manager, then you can see that, if I can find it here. Normally it's the one with the largest CPU or one of the larger CPUs. So here it is, taking 16% of my CPU and 200 megabytes. So if for whatever reason, and this one isn't, it's being pretty well behaved, it's taking a lot of stuff, you know, down with it, I may just want to see that, and then I could quickly hit end process, and it just goes away. Basically just closes whatever process was running. And then you're free to do whatever you want. So it's just kind of a good little tool if you're thinking that maybe there's something going on in Chrome when you're not quite sure which tab it is. If there is something misbehaving, that task manager is a good one to have in your tool belt.
Okay, good stuff. Yeah, I know when the fan starts making noise, it's time for me to stop and figure out what's going on. So that makes it a lot easier to figure out what's going on and kill
sometimes it. It's not just a tab. Sometimes it's one of those extensions. A lot of us have a lot of these extensions or whatever. Sometimes those misbehave as well. It's just a good way to kind of keep control of things.
Excellent. All right.
All right, Sally.
Jump into our ministry resource for the week, and I'm going to share my screen one more time and show you Martin Luther College's website, because they just recently announced that their summer registration is now open. They have a whole slew of courses they put together for those interested in attending summer classes. And, you know, lo and behold, if you go to the site and you look at it, the number one course is being taught by my friend Martin Spriggs. How about that? They have classroom strategies right up there at the top.
Number one, but it's on the list, and it must be because of the naming convention. Maybe it isn't naming convention. I don't know how they figured that out. But
they figured out you needed to be number one, dude. That's how. Yeah. Put Martin up there on the top page. So there are all kinds of tabs to explore, but you definitely can get in on dynamic classroom presentations, which Martin is teaching June 4th through July 1st online. It's a one credit course and sounds like it'll be really interesting for those that are involved. I see that our friend Bob Martins, a Wells Techer as well, is teaching a class on technologies for preschool to the second grade. So lots of fun stuff happening this summer. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm sure there's plenty here for everyone's interest and needs for continuing education. So
yeah, these are awesome because you can do it from the comfort of your own home. These are all online. And there's just something for everybody there.
Definitely. We will have a link to the registration page in the Wells Tech show notes. So be sure to check out Wells Tech for the links to MLC summer courses.
Very good. I have some community feedback, Sally, that I wanted to share with the class. And I had a back and forth conversation with Pastor Keith Schlies about the Mevo product. Mevo is a little camera that is made by Livestream. And we've talked about it before, brought it up on the show as maybe being a possible solution for streaming and those kinds of things. We are really happy with our live stream products. That's what we use to stream, the things that that we do live, interactive faith, those kinds of things. And the Mevo product is a single unit that allows multiple camera angles just from one location. So you can get wide angle, you can zoom in, you can control it with a smartphone, those kinds of things. So Keith had asked whether that might be a viable product for their sermons and Bible class stuff. And so he went ahead and ordered it, and I asked him to get back to me with any feedback based on his usage. And he was good enough to do that, and I wanted to share that with the class. Unfortunately, it didn't work out real well for him. He said, sadly, I'm returning the Mevo today. After 2 hours of working with it, it has severe limitations. It would work well under the following conditions. 10 to 15 feet from the speaker, direct connection into Ethernet, direct connection into an audio system, on hands control during sermon Bible class. I think he's referencing have a member control the camera using their phone. That's kind of how you control the camera angles and do the switching. It is a very limited, and on the negative side, it's very limited zoom function. Worse than my cheap camera. He was using a camcorder kind of thing. You will not be able to place it in the rear of even a modest sanctuary and zoom in to see the preacher or Bible class presenter. It doesn't track the presenter well, and I guess I probably would have guessed that it's more for stationary shots. But even when the presenter is 10 to 15 feet away, it has a feature of zooming in and accenting the presenter from a different angle. Very cool. However, it lags considerably, and nearly 100% of the time zooms in on the spot where I was, not where I am. Not a great feature. It does find faces well. It records in beautiful 4K. I'd heard that about it. It's small and quite attractive. It's easy to set up and use. Another item is that the app only works on the most recent Android and iPhones. It does not work on my 4S or my 2-year-old Android phone. I had to buy a new LG with the newest Android to get it to work. Not a bad deal if you get a new phone out of the deal, right?
Never.
Perhaps that's not a concern for most pastors. They have phones newer than 2 years old. Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. But if you thought you could plug it in the back of your sanctuary and set autopilot and get a decent-looking video using your phone, that was not my experience. Even if you were to put it in front of the pew on a mic stand and set an autopilot while running cabling from the rear of your sanctuary to the front, the autopilot did not perform well enough, in my opinion, to justify the obtrusiveness of the camera in the worship area. So buyer beware. I think there, I guess in reading this, the Mevo probably is maybe a best, the best use of the device would be for maybe smaller Bible class settings or podcasting, those kinds, or video casting, those kinds of things. But it doesn't sound like it's a candidate for live streaming a sermon in most scenarios. So, Keith, really, thank you for that. Was a great review. I appreciate him sending that back to us.
Yeah. In contrast, the person that I'd talked to in the past about using it was Tom Rosenau, who's a principal in Bloomer, Wisconsin, and he's also an organist. And he actually does the iPhone thing from the organ bench to control theirs. It's sitting on the front pew, as this pastor described.
Okay.
But he switches shots as he's hitting those high notes on the organ or something like that. So, maybe you need a coordinated user out there. I don't know. So
very good.
Works for them.
It's all, I think there's different use cases for it. It isn't an inexpensive device, so if you're really not happy with it, you probably want to figure out what other solutions there are, but it's a tough problem to solve. Sally, any other community feedback this week?
Yep, one more mention that we are in 15 days of prayer, which coincides with the Chinese New Year. There's an organization of conservative Lutherans called 316 Now, and they've asked us to pray for China and for the spread of the gospel in that region. And they actually thought that the Chinese New Year was an ideal time to pray as they're celebrating those events there. And they've provided a downloadable prayer calendar for each day of this 15 days of the Chinese New Year. So we'll have a link in the show notes if you want to pray for the spread of the good news in that area.
Very good. Mm-hmm. If you want to share with Wells Tech, it's easy to do. Go to wellstech.wells.net. That's our show notes page. And you can see all of our video and audio files are there for download or viewing. We do have social media icons across the top. You can kind of see where all those spots are. Usually hashtag Wells Tech is a way to get our attention. An email is certainly welcome, wellstech@wells.net, or even a voicemail. There's a blue bar on the right side of our homepage. You click that and it asks, can I use your microphone? You say yes, you talk and you hit send. It's not real hard. So if you have thoughts, your own thoughts about technology and ministry, would want us to consider a topic or have feedback on any of the topics we've covered, that would be awesome. So please feel free to take advantage of those feedback channels. Sally, we're to the end of the show, which means video of the week.
And our video this week comes to us from our friends at the Together Video Update, which is a, I think, biweekly video release where the folks in communication services coordinate conversations around all different types of ministries and wells. And recently our friend Nicole is out at, looks like at the seminary at the Mission and Ministry event, caught up with Pastor Jared Oldenburg and talked to him about home mission startups. And it's a really brief interview, but full of great information and just good to learn more about how that works to start a home mission congregation and what's involved in that process. So check out the video. It'll be embedded on our Wells Tech website.
Very good. Sally, next week we are looking forward to having Rachel Feld join us again. Classroom technology is our focus usually when she joins us. She is up at in your neck of the woods at Martin Luther College. And we are going to be talking about, I think, websites, training techies to maintain websites, something that we all probably have on our plates at some point or another. So you'll want to tune in to that conversation as Rachel joins us. Always, she always brings good stuff with her. So looking forward to having her back on the show. That's going to happen next week, same time, same channel. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Blessings on your Lenten journey, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.